You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. What is trauma? And how do we know whether we're feeling the effects of trauma? What does it take to recover? From refugees forced to walk over dead bodies as children in a war-torn country, to survivors of sexual assault, to job loss and home foreclosure, trauma comes in many forms. As part of our ongoing series, Minding Michigan, we welcome back Michigan State University Assistant Professor of Psychiatry, Dr. Farha Abbasi. Dr. Abbasi, how do you define trauma?
So, Cindy, trauma is an acute or chronic adverse experience that really impacts your mind to a point that you are unable to cope up with it. And the inability to cope up with an acute adverse experience, inability to go back to your previous functioning, inability to continue to function, inability to maintain relationships. So it's almost like a shutdown of your brain and your body.
And when you think of the kinds of experiences that you have seen with patients who have suffered trauma or students that you've encountered, what kinds of experiences can inflict trauma?
It's very interesting. Now the trauma studies is even talking about that maybe the trauma starts as far back as the fetus can perceive the trauma. So if a mother is going through a traumatic experience, there will be so much stress hormones released in the body that the fetus, it's literally, it's showered with those stress hormones. So even in utero, the changes can happen to the brain of the fetus, to the body of the fetus. But now we are talking about adverse childhood experiences. What happens when the child is continuously exposed to these various traumas? It could be a trauma happening to the parent. It could be a trauma that they are experiencing. It could be a domestic violence, physical, sexual, emotional abuse. It could be just living in a state of poverty. Any state of nutritional deprivation can come as an insult and injury to a growing brain. So even that is a trauma. But then there are situations like you talked about. There could be a loss of a loved one. Divorce can be a trauma. Relationship breaking up is a trauma. Their bullying is a huge trauma. Moving to another country is a trauma. Being in a war-torn area is a trauma. So it's like all these threats that we encounter in our life, most of it you are able to absorb, rationalize, or deal with. And then some people have resiliency to cope with even higher levels of trauma. But anything where your body cannot cope with it anymore, psychologically or physically, that becomes a huge trauma.
So let's just say, a child who is homeless and is having to move around and coping with the stresses at home with a parent or parents who are stressed. It's all kind of under the surface. That child may be acting out in school, but the connection might not be made that that's what's going on.
Absolutely. We, for the longest period of time, has thought of trauma as in physical terms.
Right, like a level one trauma center and auto accidents and off to the emergency room. Yeah.
Where you could see the wounds.
Yes.
Even with the post-traumatic stress disorder and in the war combat zone and what veterans experience, the talk was always about having physically been wounded. Even if you look at the awards given in the Army, it's for the physical wounds. And just now the talk has started about psychological trauma, that they should be awarded for the psychological trauma of post-traumatic stress disorder. But what we can see is that, remember, hurt person hurt persons. So somebody who's hurting from inside can indulge in self-hurting behaviors or can indulge in behaviors that can hurt his environment or his relationship or his surroundings.
So can you give us an example of perhaps things you've observed in people's experiences that that could take this form?
Like, let's think of people coming from war-torn areas. And they have seen so much violence, or let's even talk about people who continue to live in this persistent exposure to trauma. Like, let's think of Syria right now. Mm-hmm. having constantly in the background, you have the sound of bombing happening, drone attacks. I remember when Afghan war was going on, a lot of kids would talk about hearing the sounds of Kalashnikov and hiding or shutting down or trying to flee away. So naturally, there are three systems that were given to us as defense in our body, which is fear, fight, and flight. So if we didn't have these three, we wouldn't have survived. The caveman would be standing in front of dinosaur because he wouldn't perceive the danger. But what happens when you are exposed to trauma, these three systems go in hyper alert. So you start associating things which were not actually the actual trauma, but remind you of trauma. So a sound, a smell, a sudden movement, all of that can be triggers. People looking like people when they come back from war, veterans suffering from PTSD, even a familiar like looking face or someone talking in a certain way, dressing in a certain way, all can be triggers for that trauma.
Dr. Bassi, how do you treat the effects of trauma? Are there multiple approaches?
I think most important is to understand the full colossal damage trauma does. If something is happening in your mind, it's going to impact your body. And if it's something has happened to your body, it's going to have really terrible impact on your brain. So what we are seeing in trauma is your growth of the brain gets impacted. Your neurons start dying. Your frontal cortex, which is your decision-making area, that shrinks. Your emotional lability increases. You get angry easily. And what happens is then these people put in a stressful situation, they will tend to react more easily. And someone from the outside would say, oh, this person has behavioral issues.
Anger issues.
He's a difficult person. Right now people love to pathologize and label people and say, oh, he's so bipolar. Mm. He's so borderline. We throw these terms out in a very stigmatizing way. So first thing is always remembering, not talking in the language like what is wrong with you, but in terms of what happened to you. That's a big mindset change. Even as a provider, that's something we struggle with, is not to react to the behavior, but to learn to go beyond the behavior and understand what's happening. Other thing is, what is very scary is that we now know that if you look up the Adverse Childhood Experiences Survey, which is a survey of 1 to 10, the higher score you have, the more chances that you would end up with some huge chronic health issues. You can develop diabetes, you can develop hypertension, you can develop heart problems, you can have high cholesterol. On the other hand, you are more prone to develop depression, anxiety, you are more prone to suicidal behaviors, you are more prone to hurt other people, you are more prone to addiction, substance abuse. So I think we need to take a step back and understand a simple thing. Why does someone continue to use a substance like alcohol, opiates, smoking, when they know it's harming them, that they will lose jobs, they would lose relationships, but cannot quit a negative behavior? People who have suffered huge trauma issues, they have big trust deficit. They never feel secure. They have this forbidding of pre-shortened future, like something like my life is going to end soon. So you need to develop an environment of safety, provide them security, develop trust, and long-term therapy. It's a long, tedious process, but we have seen some really positive results.
So Dr. Bassi, what should we take away from all of this?
When you are in any setting, Cynthia, be it radio show host, be a provider, whatever capacity you are in, look around at your surroundings and people that you are with, and think of trauma as a heavy bag of bricks. So we collect this trauma from the mother's womb, And it's like every stressful event that we suffer is like putting another brick in our bag. And we are all carrying this heavy burden. So before we assume and make nasty remarks or say or react, we need to take a step back and understand that maybe the other person is carrying a much heavier bag than we realize.
Dr. Farha Abbasi, Michigan State University psychiatrist, thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Still to come, efforts to combat climate change have centered on reducing emissions of carbon dioxide into our atmosphere. But some scientists are saying that is just not enough.
We have to start sucking CO2 out of the air, and that's what this project is about.
You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.